See you tonight. If you have your Bibles, we're interested in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, just one verse of scripture tonight is where we'll begin. But you will need your whole Bible tonight as we look through the Word of God together. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 23, the Bible says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So when we think about this precious verse right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, we're thinking about what is man. Now the Bible says that man is a spirit, he is a soul, and he is a body. That is the complete makeup of man, made in the image of God. You remember when God made man? The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." Well, praise God for it. God is a Trinity. He's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He made us to be a trichotomy just as he is a Trinity. And so when we think about Genesis 2:7, the Bible says that God formed man from the dust of the ground. So there's man with a body. And the Bible says he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. There's the spirit of God, the spirit of life inside the man. And man became a living soul. So right there is body, soul, and spirit in that very verse. We believe that the spirit is the part of you that causes you to become God conscious. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The spirit is represented by the breath of life. Some people interchange spirit and soul, but that is not correct doctrine. Second of all, the soul is the part of you that is self-conscious. It's from the soul that you have a will, that you have intellect, you have reasoning, thinking, decisions that you have to make. The devil tries to attack you, tries to attack your body to get a hold of your soul, to affect your will so he can try to destroy your spirit. The third part of man is the body that makes you world conscious. Tonight we want to preach on what is man? He is body. So real quick, let's think about the spirit part of us. God breathed in Adam and he became, the Bible says that he had the breath of life. But when Adam sinned, God said, "When you sin, you'll surely die." And the devil said, "Oh, you won't really surely die. There's no way." And we know that when Adam and Eve sinned, part of Adam died. Physically, he was still alive. He lived for 930 years. His soul was still alive, where he had intellect, will, decisions being made every day. But his spirit died immediately. And the spirit of man can only be revived by God. And thank God the Lord covered his sin. Amen, by shed blood. And you and I, we've got dead spirits. The Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sins, but he's quickened us, thank God, by the Lord Jesus Christ's blood. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross, was born again, then you've been saved, you've been quickened. And we talked about the soul of man, that's the part where we have intellect and their reason. What is man? He's a body. Number one, man was designed by sovereignty. Now we're talking tonight about your body. Your body's what you focus on the most. It's what you pay attention to the most. You don't pay as much attention to your spirit or to your soul as you do your body. Yet the body is the vehicle of the soul and of the spirit. So man's body was designed by sovereignty. Let's read about that in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, I want to begin reading in verse 13. Psalm 139 Verse 13, the scripture says, "For thou hast possessed my reins." Amen. The Bible says, "For thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." It's from the soul. We have intellect and will. My soul knows that God made me with a physical body, and God's made me marvelously. Next verse, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Preacher Darren, what does that mean? Lowest parts of the earth. We're formed from the dust of the ground. Amen? And think about it. Somebody said, well, nowadays with by genetics and all the things we can do, we figured out how to dupe the system and we can create a man. Yeah, well, go get your own dirt when there is none. Amen? Who made the dirt? The Lord God did. Science didn't make the dirt. God made the dirt. So I'm telling you, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We've been designed by sovereignty. I believe this. Somebody says, well, here's how we got here. The Big Bang Theory kicked it all off. Then we have amoebas that turned into monkeys and we swung from a tree and we fell off and we broke our tail off and we stood up and walked like a man. It takes a lot of faith to believe that. Problem is, when I go to the zoo, there's still monkeys there. Poor old monkeys. They've been left behind. What happened to them? Didn't God love them? No, they're monkeys. They've always been monkeys. And man is man. He's always been man. God created the man. Amen. Let me tell you something. If there was nothing, and science will tell you there was nothing, then what banged? Nothing hitting nothing cannot make a sound. Amen. There had to be something to bang. And if there was something to make the Big Bang Theory, who created the something? Evolution can't tell you that. But I'll tell you something, amen. God created the something. And God created the man. God created the heaven and the earth. I believe that with all my heart. So man was designed by sovereignty. He has a body, he has a soul, he has a spirit. Number two, man's body was defiled by sin. In the Garden of Eden, man fell. And it defiled, really, every part of man. His spirit died, his soul was defiled, and his body became corrupt. But most visibly, when you look at that picture, you see the body. Now think about it. You and I tonight, we live in a decaying house. The moment we are born, we begin to die. Every disease, every ache, every creak, every death, every cemetery points to the fall of man. You can take care of the body as much as you want to, but you cannot preserve it. We have a bunch of health nuts, I call them. They run around and they are not going to eat meat. They're going to eat leaves and they're going to eat very carefully and they're going to drink water only. But the problem is they're dying anyway. God bless y'all. And then there are those of us that eat donuts and biscuits and gravy, thank God. And some of y'all drink coffee and you may die sooner than somebody else. But the fact remains that we're all dying. I looked up a statistic the other day on George Barna. Listen, Barna says that one out of every one person dies. And the leading cause of death is death. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, for which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. The soul and the spirit, they're going to live on. What about the body? Well, Philippians 3:21 says that the Lord will change our vile, V-I-L-E, our vile body. What does that mean? Your body is vile because it's been defiled by sin. Thirdly, the body is destined for a selected eternity. You have a choice about where you want to spend eternity with your spirit, with your soul, and with your body. Now, we've talked about where man came from. We've talked about what man consists of. And we've talked about how sin has corrupted mankind. And what we've spoken about is the past and the present. I want us to talk about the future of the body. Now, when death comes, something happens to your spirit, something happens to your soul, and something happens to your body. And there is a different plan. Which plan are you on? There's one of two plans that you're on tonight. There's the plan for the believer, those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a plan for the unbeliever, for those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have different plans depending on one decision, What will you do with Jesus? So what happens when a man dies? If he's born again, let's say. First of all, what happens to your spirit? There's a destiny for your spirit. Let's read about Jesus in Luke 23, verse number 46. Jesus is on the cross. He's given his life for the sins of mankind. And in Luke 23 and in verse number 46, I really truthfully want you to see this verse of Scripture. Luke 23 and verse number 46. Okay? Have you found it yet? Jesus said, when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Not his body, not his soul, but his spirit. And the Bible says that having said thus, he gave up the ghost. What does that mean? His body is hanging on the tree, but his spirit went to God the Father. Y'all okay with that? Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes comes before the book of the Song of Solomon and before the book of Isaiah. So Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. We're looking in chapter number 12 at verse number 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 7. Ecclesiastes 12, 7. Then, I hope you found it. Say amen if you have. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. So when the body dies, it returns to the earth. Why? Because the body was made from dust, and it's going to return to the dust of the ground. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So inside my body is a soul, which inside of that is a spirit. Your spirit's where you worship God. And the spirit for the saved man, when he dies, goes back to God. While you're here in Ecclesiastes, I like chapter 8, verse 8. 8:8. Ecclesiastes 8:8. Well, this is wonderful right here. You ought to underline this verse in your Bible. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Do you see that? No man has power over spirit to retain spirit. What about that? Now Jesus, he had power over death. He had power to lay down his life. He had power to raise it back up again. I believe that, don't you? Now what does that mean? When the spirit dies, listen, when the body dies, the spirit leaves the body and it goes to be with God. That's the destiny of the spirit of a saved man. What about the destiny of his soul? Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Let's just look. Luke chapter 12. I want to look at verse number 20. We have a rich man who was foolish and he rejected the things of God. And what happens to the man who rejected the things of God? Luke chapter 12 and verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So here's what happens. Your soul, when you die, stands before God, and God, if you've received the Lord, Jesus Christ, he welcomes you into heaven. But if the soul has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately the soul is sent to a place called hell. Immediately, where it's going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, I was preaching out of the Old Testament on Sunday morning about the family of Rebecca and her nurse. And I'm going to give a thank to about Rachel. Now let's think about, listen what it says about Rachel. In Genesis 35, 18, this is what Rachel said. It came to pass as her soul was departing, for she died. She was given childbirth. When she died, when the baby was born, she said, name him Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. Then after she died, her husband said, no. I know what it's like to have a bad name. My name is Jacob. I was a trickster and a con man. and the Lord changed my name to Israel, and I'm not going to have my son have a bad name. And he named him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. So here's what happens. When a man dies, his body goes to the grave, goes to the ground. His spirit's going to go to God, and the soul goes somewhere for eternity, depending on whether he's saved or not. Your soul will go to heaven or to hell. Now let's just think for a minute. The Old Testament saints versus New Testament saints. In the Old Testament, Jesus has not yet been born. Jesus has not yet died on the cross. Jesus has not yet shed his blood for sinners. Jesus has not yet been raised from the dead and ascended to heaven and sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat. So what happened in the Old Testament when somebody dies? They go to the place called paradise if they're saved. And if they're not, they go to a place called hell. I might read to you, and you remember the story. Let's just, for sake of time, remember the story. In Luke 16, there's a rich man and a poor man. And the rich man is unnamed, but the poor man is named Lazarus. They both died. Their bodies went to the grave. After they died and their body goes to the grave, what happened to their soul? The rich man, having rejected the things of God, the Bible said he was in hell. And the saved man went to a place called paradise, or Abraham's bosom. Where was it? It was in the heart of the earth. And there was a great gulf fixed between the paradise section and the hell section. And the paradise section couldn't look into hell, but I believe the hell section could look into paradise and see those people being comforted and what might have been for them. Can you just imagine the torment of that? Well, when I look, we're here. Let's look at Luke chapter 23 while we're in Luke. Luke 23, let's read this. Jesus is on the cross in Luke 23. And verse 42, one of those thieves said to the Lord, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What's the kingdom of God? It's heaven, right? Jesus said, verse 43, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Do you think Jesus got it wrong? You think he was out of his mind when he was dying on the cross there? And he meant to say heaven, but he said paradise? Or do you think, well, he just kind of interchanged the words. They're the same thing. Jesus didn't really know what he's talking to you. There's not been a moment that Jesus wasn't in perfect control. And when he said paradise, he, bless God, meant paradise, which was in the heart of the earth. And he said, "Today, thief, you're no longer a thief. You being redeemed, you're going to be with me in paradise when you die." So the thief, being converted, died and went to paradise. Well, guess who else died and went to paradise? Jesus said, "You'll be with me in paradise." He wouldn't be with him in paradise if Jesus didn't go. So Jesus himself went to paradise. Well, now his body is dying on a tree. It's dead. His body is going to be removed and put in a borrowed tomb with a stone rolled in front of it for 3 days and three nights. His spirit went before God and was with God. His spirit's with God. His body is going to Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And his soul went to paradise. He said, as Jonah was in the heart of the earth, right? The fish's belly for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be. Y'all are looking at me funny like I've just given you a new doctrine. Have you never thought about Jesus' body versus the spirit versus his soul? He was a three-in-one being as well. He's part of the Trinity, yet he's got a trichotomy. Amen! What about that? Isn't that beautiful? And the same thing, glory to God. Matthew chapter 12, you just have to see it. Matthew chapter 12, because some of y'all, the look on your face, you hadn't really thought about it. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 40. This is what Jesus said, Matthew 12, 40. "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly," oh, Preacher Darren, it says fish's belly. We don't know it was a whale. Do you think Jesus was wrong? Do you think Jesus got it wrong? Do you think Jesus was confused? He's the one who created the whales. He specially created that whale. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. I won't take time to read it, but I looked it up. Jonah 1:17 says Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Woo! Now, how are we going to get Jesus' spirit, which is in heaven, and Jesus' soul, which is in paradise, and Jesus' body, which is in tomb? What are we going to do? How are we going to get them back together? I mean, what's going to happen? God's got this. 1 Peter chapter 3. I hope you're listening intently. 1 Peter chapter, because if you don't cut me off right now, we're in a mess. We got Jesus all over the place. And he is, amen. He is. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, capital S, quickened by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brought back to life by God's Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. What spirits in prison? Those that were in paradise. 3 days and three nights, Jesus went to paradise. Who's there? Adam, Eve, Seth, Noah, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Can you see them there? Every person that started to come in, they said, is this him? Are you him? No, I'm not him. Are you him? No, I'm not him. Are you him? Daniel? No, I'm not him. Are you him? Malachi? No, I'm not him. Are you him? Hosea? No, I'm not him. And then all of a sudden one came in. Are you him? No, I'm John the Baptist. But I saw him. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And just a little bit later, here comes the thief. Are you him? No, I'm a thief on the cross. But I was right beside him, amen. And all of a sudden, glory to God, a great light and a great quaking comes to paradise. And in walks the Son of God, the Messiah. And all of paradise fell down and said, my Lord and my God. He was him. And he came and preached to them when they were in the paradise section in the heart of the earth. What's he going to do? Well, let's read in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You got to see this. Let's read verse 8, because it's part of the sentence. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Say amen when you found it. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Parentheses. Now that he ascended, but what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Close the parentheses. Here's what happened. Lord of God, he said, y'all, you're getting out of here. I know it's been great to be here, but you're going with me. He led captivity captive. He ascended up on high. He gave gifts unto men, and he took every single one of them into the heaven above all the heavens that we know. He brought their souls, amen, to the Lord in heaven. And there they are right now. Amen. And then Jesus, glory to God, Jesus, we know that his body having gone to the grave, his soul has just come up from paradise, met back with his spirit to God, and now quickened by the Spirit, Shazam, his spirit, his soul, his body, woo, up from the grave, he arose. He came right out of the grave clothes. They were untouched. He took the napkin intensely and folded and said, I've enjoyed my stay. I'll be back, not to the tomb, but I'll be back for you, that your spirit, your soul, your bodies might be with me. Here's our problem. My body is weak. My body is weary. My body has a practice of sin. My body is sinful. My body is corrupt. My body needs a change. And one day, honey, he's going to give us a change just like he's had. Amen. Well, today, when a believer dies,
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, rather, I say, and willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If we die, our spirit, our soul goes to be with God, but our body's still here. John chapter 14, Jesus made that great statement. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You're not just going to be there in spirit and in soul, but he is going to come back and take your body out of the grave, or take it off this sinful earth, that you might have a glorified body like it unto his. Well, hallelujah. So what then is the destiny of the body? At the resurrection, your body will come out of the ground, or your body will come off of the ground, and you'll have a body like Jesus. We will live for the Lord in a body that will never grow old. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We will have a body that will not decay. We will have a body that will not grow old. The songwriter wrote, where we'll never grow old. Thank God, where we'll never grow old. Well, Romans 8:23, I love this verse. Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the capital S Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. I have a question. Are you saved? Your soul, your spirit's going to go to be with God. But right now, you're living in an old creaking mess. It's got pain. It wants to do the wrong thing. But the body will one day be redeemed and glorified. If it's okay, I want to read a verse that I read last week, a couple of verses. I try to read some new stuff, but I want you to see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. I read this last week. I want to read verse 9 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 1, 9 and 10. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death. What does that mean? In the past, he delivered us from so great a death. He's delivered us from the penalty of sin. Salvation for our dead spirits, now being quickened, they're alive unto God forevermore. So we've been delivered in the past. And doth deliver. That's present tense. What does that mean? He's presently delivered me from the power of sin. My soul, which has intellect and will and choices, right now every day the Lord's trying to sanctify my soul. Sometimes, and I know your soul's not like this, but mine has corrupt desires and wants the wrong things. And it causes my body, which is already sinful, just to exercise sin even more. And my spirit and my soul are at warfare trying to drag my body into it. Amen? And every day I have to be delivered from the power of sin in my life. Now, the Bible says, he will yet, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. What? From the presence of sin. One day he's going to redeem our vile bodies. Oh, Preacher Darren, how's he going to do that? Well, we know he's going to give us a change. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. Well, Preacher, that brings some questions up. What about those who've been cremated? Huh? What about them? What about those that were drowned at sea? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What about this and what about that? You're telling me that God, who made you from dust, won't know where somebody's cremated ashes went? That's what you're trying to tell me? That God won't know? That he can't raise up somebody out of the sea? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. You're close. Chapter 15. Man, what verses. Verse 35. I got to hurry. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Paul, being our writer, says, thou fool. In other words, oh, foolish man. Even nature. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now a lot of people, I love to preach about but God, don't you? But there's one in verse 38 people never mention. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. In other words, it's what we're trying to say right here. You sow seed, it dies in the ground. But when it comes up out of the ground, it has new life. Now, you don't sow corn and get green beans. You don't sow green beans and get tomatoes, right? But when you sow, listen, when you sow that seed of corn, that kernel of corn, that seed of corn dies. Dead, kaput, over, finished. It's wintertime, cold, dead, dry, nothing. And God, every spring, supernaturally, breathes down on that dead, dry seed of corn that dies and gives it new life. And it pushes through the ground with a new life, and it's of the same variety. It's of the same diversity, yet it has new life. Woo! And God, and Paul saying, you fool, if a seed of corn is planted and it comes back to life with a new life, don't you know that when God sows a body, he's going to bring it up out of the ground with new life? Oh, preacher, you're talking about where you come and you live again and you get another 80 years on earth. No. He's saying when it comes out of the ground, it's glorified and will live forever like Jesus did and will be with him in heaven. Now, we could read about the different celestial and terrestrial, but let's look at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and a spiritual body. Oh, preacher there, what about a baby that dies at 6 months of age? Does its soul and spirit go to be with the Lord? Absolutely. Well, when its body's raised up, it'll be 6 months old forever? No. God's going to change its body to be likened unto the Lord's body. The Lord was about 33 years old, and that child will be raised up to be about that age. What about an 85-year-old man who dies? Will he be walking around on a cane, decrepit forever? Though he's saved and he gets to go to heaven by the river of life, what's he going to do? Is he barely going to be able to sit down? Oh, boy, I hope I can get back up. No. He's going to have a new body. Glorified, amen. Hey, there's a change going to happen to us, honey, and we're not going to be 85, and we're not going to be 6 months old. Well, preacher Darren, will I be like an angel strumming a harp by the river? No, you're not an angel. You're not a celestial. Preacher Darren, will I be like an angel floating on the clouds? No. Well, preacher Darren, when I'm raised up, will I be Moses? Will I be Paul? No, you'll be Darren. Moses is not Darren. Darren is not Moses. God made us all to differ. He's just going to give us all new life as Darren, as Gary, as Bobby, as Tony. Thank God. You'll be known even as you were known. And I won't have to have an introduction. What about that? We shall be like him. I want to read in Philippians chapter 3. I'm trying to hurry. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. I reference this verse. Philippians 3, 21. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We will have a glorified body like Jesus. In 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now, when, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will have a glorified body just like the Lord Jesus Christ. We will. Right now you have a body that has limitations. It has hindrances. There's times when I've gone to preach places or preach right here at Bethel, and man, the Lord just let me rear back and preach for a patch and get in the Holy Ghost or get in a good service, and I worshiped God. And man, I wept and I cried and I twirled the frame. And I come home and I was like, man, I am absolutely in need of a nap. I am absolutely killed. I didn't cut down a tree. I didn't haul things around today. Why is my body so tired? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. My body has limitations. My body has hindrances like weakness, weariness, sin principle, mortality, and corruption. The flesh limits my spiritual activities. Try to preach, the flesh tries to invade. Try to teach, the flesh tries to get involved. Try to read your Bible, tell me the flesh don't get distracted. Try to pray, and the flesh limits you. I'm not the only one here that's ever said, now I lay me down to sleep. What am I thinking about over here? The flesh limits you. Now you and I must be changed. We must, listen, I must be changed to fit that heavenly, glorious environment. Let's talk about it for a second. I was thinking, if we were to take out of the depths of the ocean a fish and we were to stand it right here behind this pulpit, do you know what would happen to that fish? It would die because it can't take the fresh air without being in water. Take me, put me in the depths of the ocean. Submerge me to the depths below the sea level that fish goes, and you know what happened to me? I'd die. That fish would have to change to survive here on land, and me as a man would have to change to survive in the water. For you and I as sinners, as corrupt, as vile, for us to survive in heaven, we have to have a change. And the Lord God is going to give us that redemption. He's going to give us that change to our bodies that we might live with him while the ages roll on. Amen. I got one more and I'm done. I hope it's okay. Number four, the body needs to be dedicated to the Savior. Hear me closely. Don't cut me off. Number four. The early church faced skeptics known as Gnostics. The Gnostics, they believed that all matter is evil. They said that God would never take upon himself a human body because the body is evil. Therefore, Jesus was not really a man in a body. They taught that man consists of body, soul, and spirit, but that only the spirit matters. And the way the spirit is set free from the body is by knowledge, advanced knowledge. What foolishness. Jesus was full man and yet full God. The Bible teaches very differently, doesn't it? The body is important. God dwells inside your body. And God cares what you do to your body. You see, the Gnostics were teaching, since only advanced knowledge sets you free, you can drink like a sailor or a fish, and it doesn't matter. You can sin. You can sleep with any man, any woman you want to, and it doesn't matter to God. You can do anything you want to in your body because matter's evil. That's not what the Bible teaches. God does care how you treat your body and what you do with your body. I want to read four verses of Scripture in four different places. Keep up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. You know this well, and you could quote it to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. What? Question mark. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're not your own. God, the Holy Ghost, lives inside you. Chapter 10, verse 31. Whether, therefore, you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. What you eat and what you drink or whatever you do ought to do for God's glory. What you eat is what you put in your body. What you drink is what you put in your body. You just remember the next time you decide you're going to partake of that beverage that you're doing this where the Lord lives. Is that for the glory of God or are you blaspheming his name? Hello. In Romans chapter 6, verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Don't let sin reign in your body. In Romans chapter 12, I love verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Time out. Stop. Read it again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your spirits. Nope. That you present your souls. Nope. Your bodies. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In conclusion, God wants us to use our bodies here on earth to serve Jesus. Can you commit your eyes, your ears, your mouth that speaks, what you smell, what you touch and feel? Can you commit those senses of your body to Christ? The lost man dies and he goes to hell. His body is tormented in hell. His soul, listen, there'll be a resurrection of unrighteousness one day. One of these days, even the lost man is going to come out of the grave and their body will be reunited with their soul and spirit in hell. Their body will be tormented in hell. Their soul is tortured in hell. Their spirit is troubled for all of eternity. But the saved man dies and he goes to heaven. His spirit and his soul are reunited with his body, glorified to serve the Lord Jesus Christ while the ages roll on. How long is eternity? I have no idea. But my friends, it's longer than we imagine. It's greater than anything you can ever think of. What is man? Four times the question is in the Word of God. Four times. What is man? Man is a spirit where we worship God. Man is a soul that is self-conscious. And man is a body that is world-conscious. Do you see the difference? Have you in 3 weeks learned anything about who am I? What does the Bible say about the body? What does the Bible say about the soul? What does the Bible say about the spirit? I hope you can say at the end of this, I've learned something in these 3 weeks about my Bible and about my body, and I've been helped. Father, we thank you tonight for the good word of God. And I thank you, Father, that you've helped us to preach. Lord, our goal was to rightly divide the word of truth. Father, I pray if there's one that's not saved, that needs to be saved, that God, you would convict them. You'd give them courage to repent, and you'd convert their soul and their spirit and one day their body as they call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for who you are and all that you do and for your divine plan of redemption. Thank you, Father. May you lead us into further studies, we pray. Help us, God, that we would be committed with all five of our senses of this body and our soul and its decision-making to the Lord Jesus Christ. And with this, I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen.